Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
We are in our series called Multiply, and we're talking about the discipleship process here at Every Nation Brisbane. We are a church that values discipleship, and so we've been talking about the process here. I just wanted to read this verse, and I'll get you all to read it with me. You did such a great job at reading the vision statement. I kind of like it when we all read together. So if you could look upon the screen or look in your Bible. This is from the ESV. So if you could read it together with me. 1, 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will also teach others also how to read English. Okay, I want you to notice this. You're going to hear 2 Timothy 2:2 a lot in our church. If you come around us a lot, you'll hear this verse a lot. But I wanted, obviously, at this church, we love to read scripture within its context. So let's read the verse before it. It says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Where does that grace come from? All right, great job. Great job, everyone. And I want you to notice this, okay? And what you have heard from me. Now, this is Paul writing to Timothy. Okay, so what Paul has spoken to Timothy or taught Timothy in the presence of many witnesses. So Timothy was amongst other disciples. There wasn't just one disciple, but Paul was the discipler. Discipler is not really a word, but you get what I mean. The discipler of Timothy, and in the presence of other disciples, okay? So that's one generation is Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, "That which I've taught you in the presence of other witnesses, entrust to faithful men." So the Timothy and his generation of disciples are to entrust to faithful men. So that he disciples them in such a way where they disciple others. So he says, "These things I'm teaching you, entrust to other men, but entrust them in such a way that they're able to teach others also." Everybody say, "Teach others also." Because there's a difference, right? There's some people that are so great with the way that they teach, but they don't teach people in a way that's easily duplicatable. Duplicable. Easily copied. So effective discipleship consists of me teaching with simplicity in a manner that is able to be copied to the next generation. Okay, I want you to keep that in mind. Simplicity does matter. And we really believe that discipleship is and should be simple. Turn to somebody, encourage them. Discipleship is simple. Even I could do it. Father, we thank you that your pattern is simple. The last words that Jesus spoke on this earth to his disciples was to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey. The promise is that you will be with us always. Be with us today as we desire to hear about how to teach others also in a way that they'll be able to teach others. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you know that a lot of times when you're teaching something, it's not necessarily the information that comes out of your mouth that's caught, but a lot of the mannerisms of the teacher that is caught. Like, for instance, let me just go to this first. I took some pictures of fathers, right? Father teaching his son to shave, father sleeping and then the baby copying the position, father trying to teach his son how to tie a bow tie. See, these sorts of things are caught. Now, you can teach them information, but they catch certain things. Sometimes not so good things like these things. Oh, wait. These things. Can you help me, please? Like these things. What's actually sad too, and I'll be real honest with you guys. I've had some massive wake up calls too, where the Holy Spirit has whispered to me as a father, don't let your children know the color of the Apple logo more than the color of your eyes on the back of your phone. I know that's none of you on your devices, just me, because I'm the sinner. The grace comes from Christ Jesus, remember? And so I'm very aware that as I disciple my children, my Nazareth who's 7, Zion who's 4.5, and Jordan who's 3 going on 12. I'm on a license, Daddy. I'm very aware too that I can easily get caught up in, you know, the work of ministry and being defined by other things other than Christ. And they'll catch that. And so it's important that as I raise my children, and also as I have the honor of helping to raise a generation of young men, that they not only catch the information, but they catch the revelation through my actions and through how I dictate the spiritual climate in my home or anywhere that I have the ability to influence. So as your pastor, of course, the Holy Spirit reigns in the church. Christ is the head of this church, but there's also a responsibility on myself to conduct and lead according to the leading of the Holy Spirit and the rest of the leaders in this church, for us to conduct ourselves in manners and ways that you can catch things as well as be taught things. You get what I'm saying? So let me go back to the discipleship process. We talked about reach 2 weeks ago. We talked about the Good Samaritan and how Jesus Christ is the Good Samaritan who descended from his horse, reached out to us, put us on his horse, took us into the inn. The inn is representative of the church. And in the church, that's where we are healed. And we are healed, yes, by the teaching of God's word, but a lot of what is taught is actually caught by the mannerisms and the way that we live our lives. I don't know about you, but I grew up seeing a lot of people who would call themselves men of God, but live lives totally contradictory to what they taught, and still be esteemed in manners and ways that were just, I know the Holy Spirit was grieved. And it's not my place to judge them at all. That's God's job. But I know for a fact that if I preach the word, the Bible's very clear that there's a responsibility on me as a preacher and a teacher of God's word to make sure I live this out, or at least have a reliance on the grace of God to help me walk out what I'm teaching you today. Now, of course, I'm not perfect, but I'm walking out in that perfection through the process of sanctification, which is the process of God making me look more like him by his grace. By his grace, I am taught to love my wife. By his grace, I'm taught to disciple and raise my children. By his grace, he lifted me out of the muck that I was in, put me on his horse, took me into an inn, the church, the body of Christ, where I was healed. And some of you may be in this room today as a part of this church, as young as it is, just over 2 years, but God has used this inn to help heal you, help transform you, help change you, help you grow in what God's called you to do. And in the process of that being reached out to, he puts you in relationship, which is the relate part of this journey. You're in relationship with one another. And there's some relationships that you'll savor because they're just so awesome to be around certain people. But then there's some people, again, that will grate you, that have personalities that make you look like the person that I was trying to describe during our time of worship and song, where you like have to smile when you see them. Praise God, sister. So good to see you. Again, none of you. And it's amazing. Like I hear these statements all the time from people that would that claim to be Christian or are Christians, and would say it's easier to relate to people who are out in the world than in the church. You know why? It's because God wants you to fight for these relationships. And it is a fight. But Christ died for these relationships. And so there are going to be times that you will not feel like coming to church. Maybe even getting here today, it was one of those days. Ah, it's a fight. You know, I've had a hard week. I'm sure that four-eyed pastor won't mind if he doesn't see my face in there. You know, I'm sure he won't mind. Besides, it's usually dark in there. You came on the bright light Sunday. Welcome, everybody. But I'm here to encourage you today that this is where we grow. If you fight for the relationships, look, I'm willing to fight alongside you. I'm willing to fight alongside you because I know that God's called me to walk with you. And there are going to be times that it's great and it's awesome. I'm praying that it'll be that way all the time. But, you know, like the 20 minutes maybe that it's not that way, I'm praying that you'll fight alongside me for those 20 minutes. That even when the accuser tries to twist up, I just sense the Holy Spirit saying, telling me to just reveal one of his tactics. Especially like when you miss meetings or when you miss catching up with certain people and then you try to go back, the accuser will start whispering all sorts of stuff in your ear. He'll start saying, you know that pastor, he just lets his daughter come up while he's preaching, you know. It's just, what sort of pastor does that? Go sit down now. Well, you know, what sort of pastor? I'm sure they won't mind if I just isolate myself in the corner. And again, this is not because, you know, like you have some people in there on fire for God and they sit in the first two rows. And then they have those weeks when they're not able to come. And then all of a sudden they're sitting behind Helios in the sound booth and Edwina there. Now they're there because they have to be there to run the sound. They're not there because they're discouraged. They're there to help me project my voice. But, you know, it just takes moments of isolation. Then you just kind of pepper your attendance. Or maybe I'll just, I'll come because the, you know, pastor texts me, or I better go because Norm encouraged me to come. Oh, okay, he's going to be looking for me. So you kind of come in. They're on the last song. Is the offering finished yet? So we can skip that part. Just kind of come in, and then you're waiting for the altar call. So it looks like you're coming forward, but then you go out the door. You know, just. I'm just trying to reveal tactics that the enemy will do just to try and isolate you. And the reason is because this is what we need to fight for. The body of Christ is what the agent that God is going to use to change this city. I'll admit, I'm not, you know, if you're looking for the perfect pastor, you've come to the wrong church. If you're looking for the perfect pastor who will preach the home run every week and get it right for your life every week, you're coming to the wrong church. And let me just tell you something. That's what you should be getting from Jesus, not from me. There'll be weeks you come here to receive, but there'll also be weeks. There'll be just discipling, see? Just part of the process. There'll also be weeks where you're there, but you know this message is for somebody else, and maybe not for your situation. And you need to be interceding for those that need that message. Don't just be a consumer Christian. Let me just upsize my sermon with a bag of worship that will suit me. It's all about me, what I can get out of this church. It's not. It's about what you bring in relationship. Part of the key of relationship is what you have to bring as well as what you can receive. Okay? So for you single people, that's a very massive key I just gave you for marriage as well. So we're into raise, okay? Roisin, it is. It's what you have to bring, not just what you can receive. Receive that. Because you got plenty to bring, girl. Okay, raise. We're talking about raise, okay? So again, I talked about what is caught. Now, understand this, okay? This book of 2 Timothy that I've been quoting is actually Paul's last letter that he wrote before he was executed. Okay, notice how the laughing just stopped right there when I mentioned execution. So he wrote it from a prison that looked a lot like this. This is his last letter that he's writing to his spiritual son. Somebody who has spent a lot of time raising in the spirit and who is now a pastor of a thriving church, what we would liken to a mega church in Ephesus. And so he's writing this letter to his spiritual son. And can you imagine, as he's writing chapter 4, now obviously we know that there were no chapter divisions as these writers of the books of the Bible were writing. It's not like Jesus said, okay, Matthew, make sure this is chapter 14, because we're going to the next part of the story. It's just one long letter, and it's written as a letter. There are some letters that Paul wrote to a church, and there are some letters that are written personally between him and his disciples, like Titus. And this one was to Timothy. And so as he's writing the very last chapter, you can almost hear the emotion. Now, I want you to catch this, okay? I want you to hear this with that mindset, knowing that these are Paul's last words to his disciple, knowing that he's going to go to a very cruel execution. Are you ready? Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearance and his kingdom, preach the word. Everybody say, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. He carries on. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Everybody say sound teaching. But have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, Timothy, my son in the Lord, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now it goes on, we'll go on to the rest of the passage, and there's a lot more that I won't cover today. I encourage you to read 2 Timothy chapter 4, just knowing that these were the last words that an executed apostle Paul wrote to his son in the Lord. And it's very sobering if you read it. Now I want you to catch this. Did you notice there was a repetition of the word teaching or teach, especially with regards to sound teaching? Now, if these were the final words to somebody that Paul had raised up from young as a spiritual son, is now committed as a pastor of this large church, don't you think that's important for all of us to take regard of? The fact that Paul's last words were with regards to teaching, sound teaching. Like, you could have taught about anything. You could have written about anything in that letter, that final part of the letter. But the emphasis of it was on sound teaching. Teach, preach the word. Doesn't say preach opinions. Doesn't say preach whatever the hottest podcast is, to kind of make it your own. It says, preach the word of God. I'm here to tell you today, Ian Brisbane, that there are, much like Timothy's time, and even more so today, that there are many wild gospel imitations that are floating around the Christianity universe. And unless you know the word of God, unless you know what is authentic, it's easy to be suckered into something that just looks so glamorous with laser lighting and all of that stuff is nice. But if it's not surrounded by good, solid, sound teaching, we raise up a generation that is not founded on the rock of solid doctrine. And so here's what I wanted to talk about. If this is Paul's emphasis to his young disciple Timothy, who's this young pastor, this needs to be our emphasis as we raise disciples of Christ. We're after making disciples, everybody. Disciples, not clones. There's a difference between discipling and cloning. I hope you see this. Disciples look like Jesus. Clones look like you. Okay? I've seen it. It's a real strange model of discipleship. You walk into some churches and everybody dresses like the pastor. Every woman in the church dresses like the pastor's wife. Everyone uses the same catchphrases. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, it's so good to see you. Shaka Bahandra. Hyundai Honda. Everybody uses the same catchphrases that the pastor uses. And the pastor has discipled and mentored them in such a way where they've become clones and imitations of him, not Jesus. My job is not to be an eclipse of the Holy Spirit. My job is to move out of the way and be a transparent signpost towards him, towards his sound doctrine, so that you look like you in a sanctified manner. My heart is to see you all grow and thrive in what God's called you to do. And the fact of the matter is, I know none of you want to be like me, and that's cool. And I'm fine with that. I'm actually happy. No, seriously, because I don't want you to be me. I want you to be like Jesus and what he's called you to be like. Because there's so many world-changing callings that are in this room. And it would be terrible to have a whole bunch of Pastor Nelly clones in this house, especially if you're a woman. My goodness. You all have a calling on your life, and my job as your pastor is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, according to Ephesians 4. That's my heart, is for all of you to thrive in what God's called you to do, not calling you to build me an empire, Nelly Artinga Ministries, with my TV show. And there's nothing wrong with TV shows. There's nothing wrong with all of that stuff, but when it comes down to it, we are building his kingdom, not my empire. And that's what it's all about. And so Paul knew this. When you teach sound teaching, there is a cost. And I want you to catch this, okay? Sound teaching, firstly, must be preached. Now, does that mean you have to have a microphone or a pulpit in front of you every time you teach somebody the Bible? No, it does not. Does preaching mean that you have to speak at a certain volume like this big mouth Simon that's standing in front of you right now? No, it doesn't. Okay? Preaching does not mean you have to speak at a certain volume. Preaching does not necessarily mean you have to walk around with a microphone trying to twist the cable so you can walk past it, doesn't wrap around your size 40-something waist. Preaching does not, it's not about the delivery as much as it is about the weight of your life on those words. The word preaching in Greek is chariso. Chariso, which really means the proclamation, that you are a herald announcing it. But you announce it in such a way where there's weight to it. There's weight to it. What's the weight? Your life. Because a herald in that time, you got to understand this, a herald that carried the message of the gospel at that time knew that as they carried the message, there was a cost to it, that they could die at any moment. Because that was the sort of message that they were carrying. But it's unfortunate that at times we kind of sugar up the message because we're afraid of possible persecution. And the persecution that we're thinking about is office mates possibly gossiping about us being the hyper-spiritual person in the office. When people in nations like Iran are being beaten and killed for their faith, we're worried about a little bit of gossip. And so rather than preaching the actual gospel, we'll sugarcoat it a little bit and start to talk about how Jesus died so you can have an awesome life. Jesus died so that you can have a nice car. Jesus died so that you can have this or have that. Jesus died so that you know how to live as a Christian. To die too. You've got to follow him and carry your cross to do it. The cross is not, you know, some gold chain around your neck like some rapper. Oh, I'm following Jesus. Check out the size of my chain. Blang! Light is so bright, I blind you. Blang! That's not what Jesus died for. It's not carrying it here, it's carrying it here and dying on it, laying your life down. And so Paul understood, because again, where is he writing this letter from? He's writing from prison on death row about to be executed. So he knows that if you're going to teach this the right way, and I emphasize the word sound, which means it must be authentic, it must be right, it must be properly preached. There's a weight to it. You proclaim it you are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. But it's going to cost you your life. So there's a weight to it. When you disciple somebody, you pour your life into it. You just don't teach them information. You gather with them and you pour your life into it. Because the way that you teach the gospel should be always from a perspective of testimony as to what he's done in your life. So every time I'm up here, I'm teaching from the perspective of what he's done in me. That's the weight I put on the preaching. So that's the sound teaching. Sound teaching, number one, must be preached. Everybody say, must be preached. Okay. Sound teaching will be unpopular. Sound teaching will be unpopular. Again, if you wanted to be the popular dude and you wanted to attend this church, your popularity may last for a little while, but our model is Jesus. Oh, Pastor Nelly, you know, it's all about just gathering massive crowds and just building this beautiful big building. And I've got to ask, have you ever asked yourself, would Jesus visit some of these churches, including ours? Would Jesus visit a church that's got the production down and yet the teaching is not sound? I have a feeling he's down at Fortitude Valley hanging out with the prostitutes. I'm just saying. I have a feeling he's out with the broken widows down in the hospitals. He's probably emptying the hospital out down at Mater. Just like, and Jesus, hold on, in my name, out goes just bam, bam, and they're all popping up. Oh, thanks, Jesus. You know. Seriously, I want to pastor a church where Jesus would actually come. Have you ever thought about that? Would Jesus actually visit some of the churches in Brisbane, including ours? Because that's an accountability question for myself as your pastor. It's going to be unpopular. And again, we're not here to build an empire around a personality. We're here to build the kingdom that belongs to Jesus. He is the king of that kingdom. And so it is going to be unpopular. Let's look at what Scripture says. It says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but will have itching ears, and they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Even Jesus Christ himself said in Gethsemane, the day before he died, you remember this? He said, if it is your will, in the book of Luke, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. The cup spoke of suffering. He didn't want it himself in his flesh, but he knew he needed to be obedient, because the screams of the hell-bound souls like you and I were screaming a lot louder in his ear than the screams of pain that he knew he had to endure. And so he knew that in order to bring the deliverance, to bring the redemption of mankind, he had to overcome the pain that he was to suffer and endure the cross. Unpopular. If it's all about a big numbers game, Jesus didn't do very well. He had 12 in his church. You ever thought about that? He had massive crowds in his gatherings, but the guys that he were really a part of his congregation were the 12. And even then, one of them betrayed him, sold him out for 30 pieces of silver, and the associate that he poured most of his teaching life into was the one who denied him in front of a little girl at a fireplace, amongst others. Sounds like a really unsuccessful pastor if we're talking about the largeness of his empire. But now we look at what we're living in the shadows of now. 2+ billion Christians on the planet now, on the earth. But you've got to ask yourselves, how many of them are really willing to lay their lives down and die for their faith the same way that Jesus did? Because Jesus is our model. It's going to be unpopular. We should really put a sticker on should put a sticker on our Bibles that looks something like this, contains offensive language or something. Because when you look at the Bible, it will either offend you or convict you. Conviction brings your spirit to change. Offense is exactly that. It puts a fence between you and that change, saying, you're the one that's wrong. And so it's no wonder that people cast off the Bible as being irrelevant. It is going to be unpopular. And you've got to realize this, church, that to be a Christian, to be a true follower of Christ, there will be times that there will be conflict in the beliefs that you have and the people around you. Now, of course, we speak the truth in love, and of course, we pour ourselves out in love for the sinners. Because the Bible says in Romans 5 that while we were yet sinners, all of us in this room, Christ died for us. So that's the same spirit of which we minister to other people. Understanding that we were sinners, and we still are sinners, but by the grace of God, we are saved. But there is this non-popularity that comes with this message that may even cause us to endure persecution. And he says to his disciple, Timothy, be ready to suffer, because this is what's a part and parcel of this, carrying this message. Now, of course, some of you saw this, because I was talking about in that verse where in one sense, you have the truth of the gospel. And then in another sense, there's this gospel that kind of looks like it's the gospel, but it's not. Now, if I was to compare the true gospel, the gospel message of basically all of us in this room deserve to be in hell, but Jesus Christ laid his life down so that we can be saved, and compare that to the message of Hinduism, where we can worship 330 million gods, and you just choose the deity that flows through your family generation, and you're able to, you know, you can worship that deity, and then hopefully in the cycle of life you can reincarnate yourself towards a state of Zen. Now, if you compare Hinduism to true Christianity, it kind of looks like this. If I was to ask you, which is the true $20 US note? I mean, you can easily tell which one is the true 20 US dollar note. But if I was to ask you, okay, there's this gospel here that says Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. And then somebody goes on CNN, a well-respected preacher, and says, oh, well, you know, there's many ways to believe in God. You just have to be sincere. And there's many paths to him. You know, Christianity is just one of the ways, and I just happen to be a Christian. Now, if I was to ask you which $100 bill here is the counterfeit and which one is the real one, how would you know? The only way to know is you need to know the real one, the authentic one, in so much detail that when compared with a counterfeit, you can kind of hear, okay, this is not quite right. This is not what Jesus laid his life down for. This wishy-washy gospel. Guys, you need to check the watermarks of your faith. You need to know why you believe what you believe as a Christian. Don't just carry the name around just because your dad's a deacon down at some church here and you know, you just flow with family tradition. No, if you're gonna follow Christ, you need to lay your life down for it. And you need to know why you believe what you believe. And it is an extremely unpopular message. But at the same time, the truth of that message will set people free. And that's the hope that we have. Last point, just knowing that, I couldn't resist this, okay? Just counterfeit polystation. Let me just get these out of the way. Counterfeit Superman. It's not Superman, it's Special Man. For those of you listening to the podcast, where Thomas the Tank Engine becomes a transformer and is now Super Robot. And this one just confused me altogether. It's supposed to be Snoopy, but they got it mixed up, Scooby, and couldn't even spell it right. So can you tell I came from Southeast Asia and love taking photos of these counterfeit things? Kind of looks like the original, but it's not. Okay, last point. Sound teaching is worth living and dying for. I've said it all, and I'll say it again. And I want you to notice this, okay? After the verses that I've just read, Paul goes into teaching something at the end that's quite familiar for a lot of you. You will have heard it. But now that you have the context of him being in prison, these are his last words to his disciple. He says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Okay? In season, when it's easy to preach and people readily receive, and out of season, when it's not as easy to preach, when it's, you know, you're discouraged and people don't want to listen. Be ready out of season as well. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but will have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. He's saying, don't forget what I've called you to. Don't forget what God's called him to. You know, other ways may be popular, but just keep evangelizing. Keep fulfilling the work of his ministry. And this is where we find this verse, guys. Many of you will be familiar with this, but it's, you know, just forgetting the context. For I am already poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure, wow, has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I've kept the faith. Can you hear the words of Paul coming out from a place of complete brokenness, knowing that he's ready to be executed? He says, look, hopefully you've learned from my example. More than what I'm trying to teach you about teaching, hopefully you've learned from my life, my son. I'm poured out like a drink offering. Let me just give you this image. Poured out like a drink offering. Guys, God wants us to enter the kingdom of heaven with no drops left. Did you catch that? God wants us to enter the kingdom of heaven, the gates of heaven, after this world, this life is done, with not a drop left. Like poured out. Not a drop left. That's my heart. That's my prayer for myself, my family, and for all of you here today. That you will not be sold some Christianity that says, you know, life is all about building for yourself an empire on this planet. It's just not what it's about. Anything that God gives you, and that's not to say that God doesn't want to prosper you, but that prosperity is for a reason. It's to be a blessing, and it just gives you more opportunity to pour out, actually, as he prospers you. But not to build an empire around your name, around you. He is the name above all names. And so when we enter the kingdom of heaven, we want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. We want to be people that have poured our lives out. Going back to that verse, I have fought the good fight. I know none of you have ever been in a fight before. Maybe you have a friend. Maybe you have a brother. But the fights that I've been in, I have a tendency to not be good fights because I just have a mouth. I'm not really good at fighting. Yo, mama. Never a good fight. A good fight is when you're still standing up and your enemy is defeated. That's a good fight. And that's all, you know, the enemy comes in like that, like me in the old days before being redeemed, telling yo mama jokes. Basically comes up and whispers all this accusation, well, you can't do this. Well, there's this period, I was just telling some of the student leaders this, there's this period around your 20s, where the enemy goes, you're too young, you'll never do it, you're too young. Then as a matter of a week, now you're too old. If you can let the enemy whisper that rubbish in your ear and not do something with the calling that God's put on you, I may be too young, but I'm too young to let you win this fight. I'm fighting the good fight. You're going down, watch me. Like James Brown, watch me. You know, just watch me defeat you, devil. Not just with words, but in the way. Look, you're gonna keep whispering that junk in my ear. Huh? Okay, that's it. I'm preaching the gospel to my brother. How you like me now, devil? Fight the good fight. For some of us, fighting the good fight means just to show up to the fight. because he's already won it. Like showing up to meetings, you know, where other Christians can come around you and encourage you, especially the church, man. There will always be, you know, valid excuses, some of them, to not make it to something, you know, to not make it to a place where you know you need to be to get around this sort of relationship where you can be built up. But I'm here to encourage you today. Fight the good fight. He's fought the good fight. He's kept the faith. Don't lose it. Keep it. Keep it. Hold on to it. And he's finished the race. That's my prayer for all of us, that we will fight the good fight. We will finish the race. We'll keep the faith. I encourage you to read the rest of that chapter, because he actually gets really candid and starts to talk about a couple of people that were very, you know, very bad to him. One of them dobbed him in to get him into prison. Hey, he's preaching the gospel and dobbed him in. A guy named Demas, who he had sowed his life into, ended up, you know, getting caught up in the ways of the world. Can you imagine dying that way? But that's the life that God's called us to. And I know it doesn't sound like, you know, I'm trying to sell you something that's pleasurable in this life, but the pleasure is to live as Christ and to die is gain. And that's how Christ wants us to make disciples, is for us to preach sound teaching to those who we're raising up. Don't preach fluff, man. Man. Just give them the word of God. Sound teaching. Everybody say sound teaching. I'm shutting it down. Father, I pray. Lord, I'm committed as your son. And however I can, in whatever way I can, to ensure that we have sound teaching in our house, Lord God. Father, let us not be wavered by every wind of doctrine that tries to sweep through the body of Christ. Even, Lord, even those things that may be happening in as a great expression in another church, Lord God. Father, you've called us with our lane to run in. And we want to be a church that commits to make disciples by teaching sound teaching. Not just teaching sound teaching, but also living sound lives that will be reflective of your glory. Because we know that examples, for the most part, are caught more than being taught. So that's our prayer today, Lord God. That we would endure, despite unpopularity, Lord, we would endure. Let's just stand to our feet as we close today. I want to give you the opportunity, not necessarily to respond to this message, but respond to the Holy Spirit, and just give you an opportunity today. Maybe you've heard this message and you've never heard it being delivered in this way, or it's been a long time since somebody has preached the truth of Christ's gospel to you in this manner. And I'm here to encourage you to live this out. And some of us in this room need to make that decision today. That if I'm going to follow Christ, it's all or nothing. And I want to give him my all today. So if that's you and you're making that decision, you're saying, you know what, Pastor Nelly, pray for me. I want to go all the way. I want to lay my life down the way Christ laid his life down for his church. And I want to run after him today. If that's you today, just with every head bowed and every eye closed, can you just lift your hand to me and just say, Pastor Nelly, pray for me. I wanna do that. Awesome. Awesome. Okay, just keep your hands up. I'm going to pray for you today. Father, I just thank you for these ones who have lifted their hands in response to this message. Lord, I'm praying, God, that we would not succumb to a false gospel. But Lord, we would be committed to walking out this faith that you called us to walk out by the grace of God, to walk out in sound teaching and not commit ourselves to gospels that would try to just suit themselves towards us. Lord, we want to commit ourselves as we lay our lives down for your kingdom. Make our lives count. Lord, we want to live lives poured out without drops left. So we commit our lives to you afresh. Let me just ask you, those of you who have your hands up, just look at me real quickly. I really want to encourage you to talk to somebody after the service and just get somebody to pray for you. I'd love to pray for you myself if that's cool. But we want to make sure that there's steps taken as a response to this. There's just this one moment, but you're able to do what you can so that you can walk out of here victoriously and in a lasting manner. So God, just continue to cover us as a church. Lord, keep us encouraged throughout this week, Lord God. We just pray blessing upon those who have made that decision today. Lord, and as we go from this place, we pray, continue to surround us. Give us a passion for your word like never before. Give us that passion for your word like never before. If there's anybody in this room, just sense this from the Holy Spirit really quickly before we go. If there's anybody in this room that's just feeling a dryness in their walk with God, and God is desiring to just renew a passion. You're asking, God, can you renew a passion in me for your presence? Because I'm just feeling a little bit dry right now. I just sense God coming like a cloud with the rain upon your life and your journey with him. If that's you, just lift your hands to him really quickly. Father, I just pray for these ones who are just saying, God, we really need you to come in a fresh way. Lord, touch us afresh. Renew us afresh. Lord God, renew our hearts and minds to what you desire to do in our lives, Lord God. Lord, I pray for a fresh wind, fresh anointing to come upon those in this room that are just feeling dry right now. Lord, allow them to return to their first love, which is you, Jesus. We thank you for your fresh anointing in this place, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. And we give him praise, but it's just... Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, go ahead and take a seat. We're going to dismiss. As we dismiss today, you know, my prayer for you is that you do what you can to fight this good fight. Amen?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.